You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
I spilled my bag of nuts inside my new man bag. Now I have an empty nut bag inside my bag full of nuts. I hit my only golf ball to the dark side of the moon and sucked out all the oxygen from my girlfriend's big balloons.
Handful of Nuts by Problems, who we've got in the studio. Kia ora, Darren, how are you?
Hello, how you doing? I'm doing good.
It's so nice to have you in here, all the way over from the States to play a special show this weekend at the Wine Cellar. Michael Logie and Power Nap also on the bill.
So excited.
Feels like a very good handshake of power.
Old friends. My old project when I came over, I played with Logie's previous thing, F and Math. I played with Chris's thing before Power Nap, Golden Axe, so now we're all doing new bands together, and it's going to be really fun.
I love it. I think it's going to be a really super energetic, super high vibes show this weekend.
Absolutely.
Tell us a wee bit about the Problems world. What's this about for you? Because we were just chatting off air about previous projects you've brought to NZ. When did you decide to sort of switch into this mode, and what's it about?
To be honest, I don't want to sound like I'm getting heavy-handed or preachy here, but I stopped drinking and stopped doing drugs. And in sobriety, I just wasn't able to tap into the pure egomania psychedelia yeah. of Shows the Rainbow anymore. It just, I lost interest in like studying how cool I could be, and instead wanted to make really interesting stuff. And through that, just, I could have kept the name, it's still just me, but I just lost what I thought was like important and defined that project. And
yes.
also just the name Problems is just really perfect for what I'm doing, a solo person processing trauma in a fun way. You know, like I'm gonna make really cool, fun, exciting stuff about the worst aspects of my journey as a full-time musician. And so it's been like really fun, and so yeah, just kind of just like just felt really like appropriately time to just start something new.
Hard. And it feels as well like when you have a big life change and you kind of want to put that into your art as well, it does sometimes feel natural to give it a new title, just fresh slate almost a wee bit. Yeah,
you know, it's like, I don't know, I think about this with like new metal bands a lot, like Korn or something. Like he's like a 60-year-old dude and he's going out on stage and he's like crying about his high school girlfriend still, or his daddy or whatever, and it's like, bro, like, come on, that's like, you know, you're a grandfather now, and you're, you know, I mean, I, you know, I'm not saying he's trying to trauma shame the guy or anything, but it's like you move on and you get tired, you know. Like I don't want to go back and sing about the stuff I was singing about when I was 22 anymore.
Totally.
Like it just wouldn't be fun for me. Like I base almost all my decisions nowadays on like, will this be fun? And so
good,
like,
it
wouldn't be fun to go back and play old music for me, you know.
Yeah. So when you're writing new music, what's the process like for you then?
Well,
especially if you've got that new sober slate to start from. Yeah,
I mean, it is really different. I kind of starts with, well, when I first started Problems, my main thing was I didn't want to sing anything too personal. I didn't want to get into all that. I wasn't ready to process all my trauma lyrically, but just creatively. So I sang about my dog almost exclusively at first.
Amazing.
And I would just kind of look at Wilbur. He's a little, I love Pekingese dogs. He's a Pekingese dog. And I would look at him and kind of sing songs to him or about him, and then just start translating those into the computer from there.
Mm.
And then as I've moved away from doing purely dog related material and started, you know, incorporating other heavier themes like nuts and glue. you know, it's taking shape, but I mean, really for me, it's just, I mean, I just want to hear, there's like certain notes and harmonic structure that just excite me, and I hear it, so I just want to like make stuff that excites me and interests me. It goes back to the fun thing again, you know. It's like,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I like to set myself up in ways where when I'm performing live, I can goof around. I like never practice my music at home alone. I just like book shows and then go play, because I just like don't, I just want to have fun and keep myself excited and interested. And so that's just how the process is.
I think that's an extremely punk way of approaching something, is it's like, just do the practice in the gig.
Yeah.
Gig enough that becomes a practice in and of itself.
Yeah.
Don't worry about making the mistakes, incorporate them into the vibe, you know.
I totally think so. I think like I set my controllers up, my buttons and my knobs. I know what they do. But if I was just going to sit around in my apartment twiddling knobs and doing stuff, it might sound cool to me, but it's not going to be the same as like putting that in front of people and being like, is this actually cool? Cool or not, is this actually fun? Are you gonna rock this with me, or am I killing the vibe, you know?
Yeah,
because also I like really extreme weird sounds. Like what I listen to is like very fringe and very experimental, and so it's like for me, like my tendency would probably be to just like turn all the knobs to where they sound the worst and make everyone listen to that for 40 minutes and be like, did you like that? You know, I thought it was cool. And so like that, so if I just sat alone in my bedroom doing that, then tried to put that in front of the audience, I probably wouldn't be touring New Zealand right now. Luckily I find that middle ground by being like, well, how do I communicate this to the audience still without compromising my vision, but still like putting something out there that, you know, will be enjoyed.
Absolutely. So people like PowerNap, Michael Logie, and then also Luke Disaster Radio and Eyeliner, you know, those are people that you have a long friendship with.
Yeah.
How did you first kind of come to meet those guys?
I had the same publicist. It's all very, believe it or not, even though these are like the coolest DIYist people in the world, I met them through a publicist I had in America at the time with. I shared the same publicist as So Modern, a legendary kind of DIY band from here. Blink was their manager, tour manager, just their homie. And so I met them, and this publicist pitched this idea to me like, hey, can you book a string of shows for So Modern in America and play with them and take them on tour, drive them around in your van and stuff. So I booked them. We started up in Portland, Oregon in the Pacific Northwest, and we toured all the way back to Nebraska. And then I booked them a few more shows, I think through to Chicago or something. I don't remember exactly. It was a long time ago. And so then they hooked me up with Blink. And I don't know if people know who Blink is. Blink books Camp Alohom. Blink is the personification of Alohom.
Yes.
And so they hooked me up with Blink, and me and Blink got along really well. And we've all just kind of been helping each other out in random ways throughout the years. Luke, So Modern, all those people, like we've all stayed in touch. Like we've all done lots of different things all over the world. A bunch of those guys ended up in China for a while and all different places, but we all stayed in contact and just kind of like, we come in and it's one of my favorite things about my life is like, I have all these super, super dear friends who are spread out all over the world that I don't maintain 100% perfect contact with. But
totally. But when you catch up,
right back into it.
Exactly.
You know? And like when I saw they were doing camp, it was just one email to blink. I mean, but I'll say it wasn't like I got it just on my laurels of being like, hey, you liked my old band. Like, I really respect Blink for doing this. He made me send him videos of me playing live. He really vetted it still and everything. He was like, let's make sure, you know, I want to book this. And like, which I think is really cool. And like, cause like he could have, he's not just going for clout. He wants to make it something new. He wanted to see that like, oh, people are going to enjoy this.
You know? Totally. So, yeah. Camp Aloham coming up really soon, actually. Very two soon. Weekends of it. And it's the swan song for Camp Aloham as well.
I believe so, yeah.
It's been on this kind of hiatus, but it has been such a significant part of like DIY music in New Zealand, mm-hmm. and it's brought some incredible international artists to our shores as well. And I think there are still a couple of tickets knocking around.
I don't think so.
I think there might be a few resale things going on, but make sure you go on the actual resale page, not getting scammed out here. No one's getting scammed in these streets.
I told Blink I was a four-piece band, so I'm selling three spots in my band. So if anyone wants to pay me directly, and then you can carry my gear for me.
Exactly. Anyone want to be a roadie for a couple of weekends? Could be a vibe. Hey, this gig this weekend though is going to be really fun. It's $15, which is super cheap. Problems, Michael Logie Power Nap, happening at the Wine Cellar, the crucible of all things good in Tamaki Makaurau. This Saturday, February the 3rd. What can people expect from a live set from Problems?
Well, it's really high energy. There's a lot of, I don't plan anything out as far as the order of the songs or the banter or anything. It just starts to flow off the cuff. I just start to interact with the crowd and make them, I make a funny show for them. There's a lot of humor involved. I get kind of chatty on the mic. As you can tell, I'm a motor mouther. And it's really fun like that. I was just thinking about this. I have one thing that won't happen is last time when I was here, I played at Whammy and I fell down, did like an Iggy Pop thing and fell down on my knees and I fell into a pint glass and I got a bunch of glass in my leg and had to go to the ER.
Okay, so that's not happening this time.
So I'm going to be more careful this time. I will take care of my body and protect myself and people in the front row, but it'll be fun and wild. It'll be cool.
Love it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a really fun night. Mm-hmm. Tell us a wee bit before we get stuck into Covered in Glue.
Sure.
New track. Tell us a wee bit about the new music. You've got an album on the way?
Yeah, so I have a new album coming out May 10th. It's on a kind of cool, well, very cool indie label from America called The Record Machine. They're just a label that has been kind of supportive of me over the years. I've never worked together, though. And this record was a big departure. It's where I just stopped doing dog songs only and singing about my dog. And I start singing about, you know, just things like processing the passing of my father, processing getting sober, divorce, all the stuff that had happened to me that like led me to blow up my life, you know, 5 or 6 years ago or whatever it was. And, you know, it's not like a dark album, though. It's like there's a relief and all that. And like processing pain and processing trauma is actually like one of the most wonderful things in the world. And like people put that off or people like don't want to do that. But actually like coming back and coming back stronger is like the most empowering badass thing you can do. And like, so this album is like me just like rocking on with my bad self post a lot of like being lost out in the woods in a very dark woods for a very long time and coming back and being like, yo, like I'm back and life is awesome and I love you all. And like it's been really cool. And like I've been sharing some of the new songs at like hometown shows in Omaha and Chicago, and like the response has been like overwhelming. It reminds me of like with Shows Rainbow, my old band, there was a time when it was like kind of a joke novelty band. And then I started taking it real seriously and it got really good. And I remember this real turning point for it and how good that felt at the time. And when I started Problems, I just thought I was just going to be goofing around DJing and playing dog songs. And I'm starting to connect with some of those same feelings. I feel like since I've been through it all before, I'm able to skip a lot of the steps that I went through, a lot of the trial and error. And it's like, I can just like laser focus it right now at 41 and just be like, here's, not a formula, but there's obviously no formula or template for success or whatever your view of success is. But I'm able to kind of hone in on like how to do what I want to do and get there faster, you know.
Hard. That's so awesome. So exciting. When does that record come out?
May 10th.
May 10th.
Yeah, so that song that you just played, Handful of Nuts, is on there, and then this next one, Covered in Glue, is on there too, yeah.
Fantastic. Problems, it's been so good to have you in the studio.
Thank you for letting me come in.
We'll see you over the next couple of weeks. This weekend at the Wine Cellar, Camp Aloham, coming up very soon, and then down and around South Island a little bit as well. So have a fantastic tour.
Thank you.
And this is Covered in Glue by Problems. You're on BFM.
Covered in glue, how could I find myself? All covered in glue, I think it just might be fun to be covered in glue. I cannot trust myself. None of my clothing fits. Covered in glue, how could I fool myself? I know I can't be sneaking anymore. Covered in glue, I cannot feel myself. I'm sweaty, stinky, covered in guts and but not anymore. Find myself all covered in glue. I think it just might be fun to be covered in glue. I cannot feed myself. None of my cooking suits me anymore.
Covered in glue, how could I fool myself? I know I can't be sneaking anymore. Covered in glue, I cannot feel myself.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.